Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never, and I hope you're enjoying this this walk through the Constitution, because this is probably the best way to do this. And what I mean by that is, if we're not looking at the Constitution and looking at each little aspect as to whether it is being violated or whether we're getting compliance out of our public servants, then we're really not doing our public servants any justice at all. So with that, let me kind of go into a little idea that I'd like to present to everybody, because I could use your help. And sometimes it's just a matter of kind of putting it out there to say, you know what, this is how you can help me. We'll be publishing this comprehensive positions for campaigning on and moving forward. In other words, this is kind of going to be the movement. And maybe I need to rechange, or I'll just say retitle this to the movement, the Bill of Rights for Our Future, or aligning the Constitution back to a Bill of Rights, something like that. Because bottom line, we need to start creating clarity for anybody and everybody that's out there regarding what does the Constitution allow. I mean, and we're going to get into that in these upcoming topics, so I don't want to belabor the point. But what you can do is, anybody that has been listening and anybody that has found this stuff that really, you know, helpful, then what I would appreciate is if you could highlight by color coding, because we'll publish the document. Once we do, I'll just request is if somebody could highlight, you know, by color coding and putting a little label to the side that this content was showed or covered on these radio shows. In other words, which days did I cover these? And then which days did I cover the next one? Cover the next one, cover the next one, cover the next one. I've just been kind of ripping through this along with some of these other ancillary issues and so forth. And I do know that there's a lot of people that are finding this content very, very valuable. And I'm not one to sit and try to, you know, take all of the administrative time, because I produce everything. I do everything myself. And so I could use somebody's help in just providing, you know, a gouge for the website. So if you notice, I just put up the days of my posts or the days of my shows. I don't put the details of that. What I would do is then I would reference that these shows can be found on the topic material that we covered here. And you can kind of go. And in some cases, some of the stuff I actually wrote for these positions, these issues that we need to get back to, what I've done is I've actually, you know, created that text and kind of read them. Right now, this is our fifth iteration, or at least I've actually started a fifth version just to kind of show the history from the very original first version down to today. And so I think that first version actually popped in at about 2-3 pages. It was just a couple of lingering ideas, maybe 4 at the most. But we're on 30 pages today, folks. And through this, and leaning forward, if I look at what we're doing and lean forward into, you know, the most recent petition, or let me see, going down here. Yeah, so we actually now have, based on the last petition that I've entered, is 56 petitions. And we haven't even covered the press, and there's still a lot of stuff that we still need to cover. So what that means is we have at least, and this is just on the front view. This is only on the front view of the Constitution. There are plenty. As a matter of fact, every time I have phone calls and I talk to people regarding their government and so forth, they go, there's a petition. That should be a petition. Folks, we need to start using these things. We need to actually start throwing rocks that land, because how do these things land? We create a document trail. It's like, you know, a scar. We create a little scar on their time in office. Every public servant, every petty tyrant that is serving in public office, that is not being held accountable to the Constitution, well, when we start holding them accountable, we're going to create a scar. And by the time they go for re-election, we need to show the people how ugly and how scarred they are from their actions in basically waging tyranny upon them, upon you. Are you starting to get this? This is why this movement is really, really important. There's no doubt in my mind that the parties are the problem, and you need to rip yourself if you really want to start articulating why the parties are the problem, because the party is not doing this. You know, I'm not the smartest guy out there, but why is it that, you know, all these people have come up with these ideas and, you know, launched this little thing here, we got to do this one thing there. Why is it that nobody has actually looked at this in a comprehensive way and said, you know, this is what we have to do. Here's the ultimate fix. How do we force the federal government to compliance? Republic Review. Go read it. Tell me I'm wrong. And how do we actually get to Republic Review? We started going down these different paths. Well, here we go. We've got it now. You have to be involved. You have to be involved at least by signing petitions. And you know what, folks? If you don't have the time, you need to find somebody that does have the time to become a petition manager in your county. You need to find somebody at least that has, the test of fortitude, the willingness, and the ability to actually get up and start leading and helping people by guiding them on what needs to be done. One person can't go around and save all these counties. And I'm telling you right now, going up and signing up with the Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Officers Association does not make your county constitutional. What it does is it basically supports a person's personal agenda, and it supports their organization. And I'm going, really? That's not helping. It helps him. It helps the organization, but it does not get us across the finish line. Come on, folks. We're in it to win, and we need you to be in it to win. And if I just all of a sudden go away and then they find me cut up in the freezer, don't believe the suicide note, okay? Because we're in it to win, and there's no doubt in my mind. I can start feeling the pressures of people starting to go, this is a little bit threatening to our power and what we are doing. And you know what, folks? They're right. I need you to become a part of, and this movement needs to be, you know, tyrant enemy number one. I used to call it public enemy, but I don't want to do that anymore. What I want to do is I want to call it tyrant's enemy, because the only people that we're actually coming after are our tyrants. Those people who are in office that believe they're better than us, that believe they can rule us and govern us, however they all agree to do it. And I'm sorry, not in America, not under this Constitution, not on our watch. So, you know how they used to call, you know, some of our fathers, or, you know, that one generation, the greatest generation? Folks, the greatest generation hasn't come, or I should say it hasn't acted yet. You have to become the greatest generation. You have to actually stand up and undo a government that has got its tentacles around every facet of your life. And you know what, folks? It's not like this is an insurmountable wrestling match with a pig that's all greased up. This is not what we're dealing with. We have all of the advantages. All we need to do is take that stand and start bonding together. United we stand, united we will succeed, and divided we are failing, and we will be destroyed. That's simple. So it's now or never, as I put it out there. You are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions, and the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. If you are looking to help educate your friends in your organization as you start standing up, go to constitutioneducation.us. I'm praying that Keith Borders stays alive and he continues to provide this great education, but that's where you can go. Give him some love. He's living on a very fixed income, a very fixed income. I know how hard it is for him to get by. And so I would just ask that if you could contribute something to Keith, whether that be $5, $10, $5 a month, just to Keith, then that would actually help him, because he's, you know, folks, look at how hard it is right now. We're going to see patriots. We're going to see people, you know, really hurting because they can't even afford gas. They can't even afford to move around. And electricity and energy, all of these things are weapons against us. This is an economic warfare. This is a political war. In every facet, the federal government is waging an insurrection and warfare against us. And, oh, by the way, that's what we kind of left off in talking about insurrections. And so when we get back into it, we will do that. We'll get back into that. But I do want to also ask that you look at Ad Local for your domain names. If you believe that this is a movement and you will be going down a path of campaigning for your county commissioner, whatever, then you need to get yourself a website. And so you need to actually go to Ad Local. They have a turnkey process. And I'm telling you, if you go to anybody else, they will be charging you thousands more dollars. Go to Ad Local. They've got it, like I said, a turnkey. They'll actually be the either connect you directly or be the intermediate for your financial transactions and so forth. So check them out, because you're going to need a domain presence, because bottom line, you're going to need people to support you, even with small contributions. And the best way to do that is to have a website with the ability for people to connect to you so that they can actually give you some love or contributions for your campaign. With that being said, I've been at a miss. Tony Randolph, who is running for legislative district, and I'll give you all the information when we come back from a break. He is a great man. He's a constitutionalist. He needs some help. He's got a primary. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so I thought that I could find his, apparently his domain is a little bit more difficult, so I'm going to need to kind of research this, so forgive me. I just reach out and I talk to the guy, but he is a ardent supporter of God and the Constitution and a good man. And, you know, it's been an interesting journey in our relationship as we started talking and what he was doing, because this guy is a constitutionalist and he is he's being challenged by a Democrat. Literally, the guy was a Democrat until January this year when he was getting ready to file to actually challenge him. This guy's ran as a Democrat. He's nothing but a Democrat. And what he's done is he's been able to go straight into the Republican Party and actually take up, register himself as a Republican so that he can now, you know, vote or actually, you know, campaign as a Republican. So what I need to do is get his website out to you. So I will have to take more due diligence when I go into break to find, you know, Tony Randall for State House and so forth, so I can give you that information before the show is over. So with that, let me just go ahead and move, or let's dive into some of this content. It's actually what we want to talk about. And where did we leave off? Because these are the positions to campaign for. These comprehensive listing of positions to campaign for. So where we've left off is we've been involved in the insurrection. And what I haven't covered yet, but I've covered it at other times. When we look at insurrections, when we look at activities, what is an insurrection? Is an insurrection a direct act? Now, let me back up and let me not try to talk too fast over this. Is an insurrection a direct act of, you know, hardcore violation, like a coup? You know, people recognize that there's physical force, deadly force being applied to killing people that are governing us and taking over and seizing control by force. That would be an insurrection. There's no doubt in my mind. That is an armed insurrection. But what about when we actually have lawmakers who have all colluded and over time have basically indoctrinated everybody before they even show up to the dance? They all have been told, you know, that this stuff is legitimate when it is absolutely illegitimate, and that they get these folks actually out there to really start doing things that are direct violations, such as not even talking about deploying the militia to deal with this invasion. The fact that they're obscuring these facts makes it an insurrection. But in history speak, there was an insurrection that wasn't done by government. The first insurrection was the Whiskey Rebellion. The Whiskey Rebellion was a rebellion in western Pennsylvania over the distilled liquors taxation. They call it the whiskey tax. And commonly, whiskey was the, you know, the product of choice, especially for getting through the hard winters and so forth. Folks, it was a different paradigm back then. Whiskey was considered a staple, like bread. And understanding that you couldn't grow wheat and you couldn't, you know, get flour throughout the year, well, whiskey was that one thing that they used to supposedly getting nutrients. I mean, it made them feel better too, didn't it? Anyway. I mean, this was also the time when they were bloodletting, right? You get sick, they would take your blood, because that's where science was leading them, because they didn't have, you know, the enlightenment that we have today. The fact of the matter is that when we look at our Constitution, when we look at our government, you know, it gives them very specific powers, but it does not give them powers to do things that they can't do. Well, do they have the powers to tax or use excise taxes? Absolutely. So when this Whiskey Rebellion kept moving forward, you know, they were basically trying to help everybody understand through a campaign and so forth. And each state actually acknowledged the fact that this was a legitimate tax. That, folks, you got to pay this tax. And that none of the states, and interesting, I should say none of the states, when you look at the whiskey tax itself and the life of the whiskey tax, so if you look at the history of the whiskey tax, you'll find that after 1800 and something, it basically died. It kind of went away because they couldn't get the states to really enforce it. In other words, you know, once it was proven that they could do this and they legitimately did this, you know, it still died on the vine because states were apprehensive. They were trying to starve the federal government from the things that it needed to do. Interesting, isn't it? So when I told you before that the states have been the problem in American history in lots of ways. They have been, you know, the spur of the revolution and so forth. So they may get credit for, you know, doing some good things. But when we really look at the shenanigans that they have pulled over the history of this republic, they've been more problematic than they've offered good. But that being said, they have an essential role in this republic. And so a part of that was to support the Constitution. Well, the fact is the Whiskey Rebellion was enforced via the Constitution because Congress called up the militia. If you go through the whole history, you'll realize that Congress called upon them and Washington wasn't ready to take them. So they basically passed this law that says we have now called upon the militia and leave it for the president's discretion, kind of. This is, I'm not giving you the exact language, but they left it to President Washington's discretion. When he was ready to call upon the militia to enforce this, he will. And so he finally did in 1794. They went out there. They arrested 24 insurgents, charged them with treason, and two were convicted. So putting this into context, when you're an insurgent in a protest, you are committing treason. So what are you when you're out there in, you know, in the, you know, in the halls of government, not in the streets, I was going to say in the streets, but you're in the halls of government and you're actually exercising powers or calling and you're calling to grant yourself new powers like the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Health and Human Services or the Department of Transportation. You're out there doing these things and supporting these things and aggrandizing more and more. How is that not an insurrection? How is that not treasonous when you're directly violating? This goes back to the importance of definitizing the Constitution. I told you this week, that's going to be the theme here. And understanding what an insurrection is critical, my friends. It's critical. So as we understand what the first insurrection was and what they did to deal with it, they actually followed the Constitution. They called forth the militia, executed the laws of the Union, they arrested these folks, they tried them, and that was it. They moved forward. But the state still, even though the state still caused problems, the government functioned and it worked. Protests and civil disobedience cannot be tolerated. This has to get shut down. And we actually have to be very aggressive in going after this because, you know, folks, if you didn't know, if you go back and you look over the last 2-3 years, some of these big protest rallies or whatever you want to call them, where property's been destroyed by these armed thugs, these Bolsheviks that are running through creating this communist, trying to get this communist revolution closed out. Folks, we need to actually take a stand on that. Protest, to be clear, protests that block streets or any form of the movement of commerce, sidewalks, any public avenue where a person uses that avenue as a thoroughfare for whatever purpose, commerce, personal matters, it doesn't matter. This is a crime. As a matter of fact, it's a crime to drive slow on a country road and not pull over. If you're a tractor and you're driving down there, in I know in the state that I live in, it used to be against the law if there were seven cars following a tractor going sub-speed limit, and that tractor did not pull over at its first opportunity to pull off the road to allow those cars to go on, it would be cited for obstructing traffic. And folks, you cannot get out in the streets. You cannot get out in thoroughfares and obstruct traffic. But what you can do is you can get into the halls of government and obstruct government and say, you have no right. You must stop this. That's me pounding if you hear the thunk, thunk. I probably have to edit that down a little bit, but anyway, for your entertainment purposes, you know, I did that. Okay, so that's that walnut desk I'm telling you about. Anyway, so we actually have to be very, very serious, and we actually have to be going after this. You know, they were very serious about horse thieves, and back in the day, they would actually hang horse thieves. You got caught with, you know, stealing a horse, you were hanged. And almost, you know, you didn't even have due process in some cases. And nobody went after those people that hanged a person without due process. Even though you have a right to due process, I mean, that was the paradigm. They just did not tolerate that type of thievery. Well, folks, We got to stop allowing them to steal and be a thief and a thug regarding our rights. Our rights are our property. And we have to understand that using First Amendment petitions is that's the initiator. We have to start going down that path, initiating these things so that we create this scarred body of public servants so that we can recognize them for what they are and get rid of them. You know, many of these people think they're good even. Many of these people think, well, I'm conservative. It doesn't matter if you're conservative or you're progressive. If you're not fully supporting the Constitution, you are violating it, and you do not deserve to be in office. It's kind of that simple, folks. But with that, we're hitting a heartbreak. So let me go find out what legislative district Mr. Randolph is in, and we will get that information back to you so that you can actually send, if you would please. He's got a primary coming up. He's in the last week or so of the primary. So if you could give him a contribution so he could drive around the state or at least drive around his district and actually meet and greet and help him, please.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so it's actually interesting. He doesn't have a website, so I don't know how you can contribute. But if you go on Facebook and you go to Representative Tony Randolph, he has a phone number there, and he has an email. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send him a text and say, hey, how can people contribute? You know, I'm talking about you on my radio show this week. How can people contribute to your campaign? And so hopefully he makes that available so that if there's some of you that can actually help get him across, you know, out and about and help, you know, help him, not unseat, help him keep this Democrat from unseating him. We need him. And as a matter of fact, we need you to actually start communicating to all of these legislators that they need to become the sponsors of this movement. This whole concept of, you know, getting the public involved in actually petitioning and understanding the right of petition. Stop using protests. Stop using these rallies. Yeah, it's nice to be able to have a barbecue. Okay, so have your picnic in the assembly area, and then everybody, you know, with the best way of transporting or what have you, you get yourselves down to the city hall, get yourself down to the county commissioner's office, and try to get everybody in there. Get everybody in there and demand that they start doing their job. They no longer deserve a pass. Look at the level of tyranny we are dealing with. They do not deserve the pass that they're getting. So with that, let's go into the petition, because we kind of have laid these all these things out regarding the insurrections that we're witnessing. Because technically, they're all committing, they're all involved in this insurrection. So what we need to do, and this is strictly focusing on this, you know, the insurgents, or I should say, those who are committing civil disobedience. We need to petition government that we demand them to enforce the laws, and that the laws for swift prosecution for violators must be executed. In other words, anybody that is blocking public streets, they need to be arrested. We'll no longer tolerate, you know, protests. You do not have a right to block somebody else's right to go to work. Civil disobedience cannot be tolerated unless you have evidence that you have been petitioning and petitioning and petitioning. Don't come to me with bloody hands and say, well, I meant well because, we have this right. No. That's not a right. Your right is to use the petition. And if the petition has failed, then let's talk about civil disobedience. And I'm not talking about just a single petition. We need to actually be out there, and we need to engage in every aspect of how they are violating the Constitution. And in so doing, we will actually create this laundry list of naughties and prove that these people shouldn't be visited by Santa Claus for the rest of their life, right? Okay, so we need these laws, you know, to actually, you know, demand swift prosecution for violators. And we need to demand an increasing of sentencing for the sentence times and fines for repeat offenders. In other words, if there's a repeat offender, and this is what I was talking about, if you start looking at who was who in Portland, Seattle, and, you know, if they could get in their car and drive to another protest, they did. These guys are serial protesters. They actually fly around. BLM is a very highly paid. I mean, they're making millions of dollars from corporate America. And they're actually being flown around to actually get in your face and destroy your communities. Are you kidding me? This is thuggery. We cannot allow this type of organized insurrection. And government is behind it because they're enabling it by telling you that they have a right to shut you down, and they have a right to convert this unconstitutionally convert our constitutional republic into a communist government. You know what, folks? I remember the 60s. And I remember the 60s, the message that they had, it wasn't as explicit as this. It was actually, you know, hey, you know, we need freedom. We don't need government telling us what to do. And it sure seems like all of these hippies that were using that same mantra are now calling, we need government to control every aspect of our lives. And we need government to control your children and make sure that you're not giving them religious dogma. Are you kidding me? Okay. So we also need in this petition to go after these repeat offenders. Oh, you know, and as a matter of fact, if they are a repeat offender, they need immediate, for one of the things that need to be added for a repeat offender, they need an immediate suspension of their voting privileges, and they need to be banned from being involved in election processes. If they do a third strike, then they will be banned from public service for life, as well as, you know, their voting privileges, getting involved. In other words, people talk about politics. They talk about grassroots activists. You can't even get involved with the party. You can't even have any activities with the party because you've gone too far, and you don't deserve to be out there, you know, basically disobeying and so forth. We need to start actually going after these people that are, you know, it's one thing for you to go to a park and assemble and have a protest or rally. But it's another thing when you actually start violating the laws as a protester. This true civil disobedience, that cannot be tolerated. Oh, well, we have to be able. No, you don't. Actually, not in America, you don't. I think the civil rights era, you know, that one issue, I think there's no doubt in my mind. There was more than enough valid evidence that it was necessary. There's no doubt in my mind, Martin Luther actually did make, you know, he may not have understood First Amendment petitions and probably couldn't produce a legal briefing on what he did. But there's no doubt in my mind, he petitioned the government. He went down and talked to them, and they continually refused. And it forced the issue that they would be, and look at, they went and did sit-ins. They didn't do, you know, burn-ins. They weren't throwing bricks and stuff. They went into a restaurant and they just sat down. And they just occupied all of the seats until the police came. And then they walked out with them in handcuffs because that's what they were doing. And they said, keep on arresting us, keep on arresting us. And to me, that's a civil disobedience. What we see out there is an insurrection, and it cannot be tolerated. And the laws do not allow it. Let's be clear, folks. The laws cannot allow. We must demand that our laws in every county be enforced. The next petition, in addition to this, is that we also need to make sure that when people are involved in these, that they also be brought up, or at least, you know, there's no reason why the county can't actually initiate a lawsuit. So this may be, you can either tie this into the same petition or make it a separate petition. You know, enforce the laws and then create an actual lawsuit against the folks involved so that the, you know, the businesses and the people, anybody can make a claim against these folks, against this or against Black Lives Matter. In other words, you sue them so that they can actually, you have to pay for the fact that you couldn't get to work. You couldn't get this product delivered, that, you know, this meat or these frozen goods or these perishable items basically died because you couldn't get through on a freeway in Missouri. Come on, folks. We need to hold these people accountable and actually hold them economically accountable as well. So we need to actually demand that counties and states actually start creating, if you want to call it a class action lawsuit, everybody that was involved in that, every organization that was involved in that. Now, I actually had a business plan that I presented to BAE. If anybody's interested in how to deal with this type of unrest, these Bolshevik revolutions, let me know, because I can show you how you can actually end these things, because the whole secret is being able to arrest everybody. You have to be able to get everybody, because you know what? The next time they try to do this, when they've all been branded and they now all have a record, that if they show up in court again, they will start losing serious privileges and they will be held even more accountable, but they will be held accountable financially as well. And so if they can't pay, then they'll basically get into indentured servitude. But bottom line, folks, you know, when we actually start holding them accountable and we start arresting them, they will go a different way, or they'll quit. I don't care, but as long as they do not inflict, you know, these types of damages and this type of mayhem and this anarchy in our streets and in our government today, this has got to end. So with that, let's now take a quick aside into the Constitution, and let's look at the 17th Amendment. Now, most people believe, and so when I sit down and I talk to academics, constitutionalists, people that kind of, they understand that the 17th Amendment's bad, but I think some of the stuff that they say are kind of myths. They're not really based on truth, because the 17th Amendment, to be clear, granted no new powers to the Senate. Let's look at it. Go read the 17th Amendment, and you will find, and as a matter of fact, we're going into a break. So when we come back from the break, I'm actually going to read the 17th Amendment for you. And then I'm going to ask you, where are the new powers? Go look at Article 1, Section 2, and so forth throughout Article 1, and you show me what the 17th Amendment granted that were new powers. It didn't. The Senate didn't, you know, the state didn't lose, you know, any powers. They still have all the powers. The Senate didn't gain any powers. They still have the same powers. What ended up happening is what we're going to cover. And I want to let you understand that there's an article we have on our website that actually teaches you exactly what we can do to end this lunacy called the 17th Amendment and restore American Republicanism. Oh, there's that word again. Told you I'm going to be bringing these things up quite a bit. So with that, we're going to go into a break. And when we come back, we're going to read the 17th Amendment, and then we're going to dive into what it really did and what we need to do. And so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what does the 17th Amendment, what is the language of the 17th Amendment? Because it's important, folks, because remember, people say it's given them power, right? It's the same thing with the 16th Amendment. We'll get into that next. But the 17th, or actually we'll get into that in a few other topics now, but the 17th Amendment really stands out because it does deal with our, and has perverted, American republicanism. You know, it's hard to have a republican form of government that's defined by the American principles of our government, and yet we, you know, have this one little amendment out there that perverts it. So what this basically states is Section 1 of the 17th Amendment. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, elected by the people thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have 1 vote. The electors in each state shall have the qualifications. Now, it says the electors with a small e. The electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors for the most numerous branch of the state legislature. So they're actually talking about the electors as in the Electoral College. I'm surprised that they did not use the capital E on that, so I'm kind of highlighting that here with the document. But anyway, let's kind of move forward. As we go into Section 2, when vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authority of the state shall use writs of election to fulfill vacancies, provided that the legislature of any may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies. And so what's really important is the whole concept that it talks about the, you know, the electors and the votes and so forth. But nowhere here does it really state, well, other than elected by the people thereof for 6 years. I mean, that's the only real change that it's making. Have you found any powers yet No, not yet. So Section 3, or actually, let me see, did I finish? The legislature's, well, this is the last part of Section 2, just in case if I missed it or went over too quickly. The legislature of any state may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by the election as the legislature may direct. This amendment shall not be construed as to affect the election or term of any senator chosen before it becomes valid as a part of the Constitution. So where's the new power that they've granted to the Senate, or where is the power that they removed from the states? They actually didn't do anything other than they changed the mechanism of how senators would be elected. Because at this point in time, this is where corporations already could have reared their evil head as being evil operators in the American Republican system. And so when we look at, you know, the ability for somebody to obtain representation, you have to understand that representation is based on sovereignty. And so the 17th Amendment, without really telling you anything, and you know what? My phones are going to light up tonight, tomorrow, and the rest of the week, because when I tell you this, all of a sudden people go, aha, wow. In my book, I talk about how the Senate has become the most expensive body of the world. But let's place context to this. Who does the Senate really represent today? Well, it says right here that they are represented by the people. Well, hold on here. Who is it that contributes to the majority of the Senate campaigns? Who is it that is seeking representation that has no constitutional standing to have any representation? As a matter of fact, there's no office within Congress to recognize these folks or this body or this entity as a sovereign. And that entity that I'm talking about and who they represent are the corporations and the banks. In other words, those with the money affluence. Ah, yes, yeah, see? They're the ones that have obtained representation in the Senate. And this is why the Senate has been doing nothing but evil bidding for decades. And here's what the 17th Amendment really did. It didn't really give them any power. It basically, under this guise of understanding treaties. Remember, we've talked about this. And as a matter of fact, we've talked and I've read Nicholas's citation regarding treaties. And I'm going to read it again. Because if you're not familiar with this, you have to understand that the Senate just can't go out and create a treaty. But you don't know this because you've never read this. And nobody in America knows this. And the courts don't even enforce this because they haven't read it. So by ignorance, they've allowed, by pretense, remember what Thomas Jefferson said regarding ignorance of the law is no excuse, because by pretense, they can actually, you know, make or pretend the law. In other words, they can come along, if you don't know the law and you don't know this, then they can start doing things that, you know, have no, you know, grasp or no footing in the law itself and actually inflict upon you the color of law. Laws that aren't actually laws. Laws that are made up, that are arbitrary and tyrannical and unconstitutional, illegal and fraudulent. And everything above that is all evil. I mean, all of the above that is evil. I mean, that's what we're talking about when we don't understand and know the laws. So this is why this show actually makes the biggest difference in your understanding than any other show out there. So now we're pointing out that, so the 17th Amendment has been perverted because they have gotten you to believe that the Senate can pass treaties that they have no authority to do. And where does GR get this? I'm going to read it to you. This is what George Nicholas states. The worthy member says that they can make a treaty relinquishing our rights and inflicting punishment. Because all treaties declared are paramount to the Constitution and laws of the states. An attentive consideration of this will show the committee that they can do no such thing. The provision of the sixth article is that this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and treaty, and all the treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. They can by this make no treaty which shall be repugnant, shall be repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution or inconsistent with the delegated powers. Folks, you get it? When they go out and they create a treaty to adjoin to the UN, they can't make a law in the United States to create a whole new government that they're going to subjugate us to. They can't even use a treaty to do that. That power, that authority does not exist. That's why it says, made in the pursuance thereof or shall be made under the authority of the United States. They don't have the authority. We never gave it to them. No, you don't know this. So they can tell you, yeah, anything we do via treaty is the law of the land. What do you think they've been doing for years? Actually, leading into this, they were doing this with Indians in the treaties for creating reservations and so forth. So just to place context on this, they've been getting away with murder, literally, for a long time. Now, what do you do? Because here's the problem. What do you do when government behaves badly? You know, like, can you go after the government and actually, you know, hold them accountable? Because what you're doing is you're holding all the people accountable for all of these shenanigans. Well, technically you can't. And as a matter of fact, our Constitution, our laws don't allow us to go back and you know, say, hey, you shouldn't have done this or what have you. We can go after every single one of these folks, every single one of them. And actually, you know, purge the records, or not purge the records. We don't want to do that. What we want to do is actually start asterisking all of these people's butts so that in history, we will identify this person as a tyrant because they supported this treaty, because they did this rebellion. We need to actually create a history course. A good friend of mine, Douglas V. Gibbs, you hear me talk about him all the time. He wrote a book called The Seven Most Influential People That Did the Most Damage Constitutionally, John Marshall being one of them. And I don't want to say that I inspired that book, but what he did actually should be inspiring to you. What he did was he actually did an academic research to go through and say, you know, this person was a tyrant and we need to asterisk this person so that everybody knows that, you know, this person was not a good player. John McCain was not a good man. And that any emoluments, anything that they received, you know, if they're still receiving anything from the taxpayers of America, that needs to be shut down. That needs to be stopped. Just like Obama, just like the Kennedys, all of these folks that, you know, have these Secret Service and government support. I mean, they've created a monarchy here in the United States by and it's not by a bloodline. It is by the luck of chance and the allowance of the guard of evil to allow these people into the inner sanctums of our government to be able to and give them power and support, and give them power and support to do these very specific things that they've done or inflicted upon us. So there's merit. You know, I'm not one to necessarily want to lead and champion that. There's a body of work to be done, folks. If we want to hold these people accountable, if we want to actually clear this up, if we want to clear the air, you've got to be honest, folks. We all have to be honest. We all have to hold them accountable. And the only way to do that is to identify every little thing. Like Bill Clinton, it's a long list. All of these big tyrants, it's a long list, and it's overdue. We need to show the world how we noticed what they did, and we're not going to let it slide anymore. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, and we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our
Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.